Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Shakespeare Festival St. Louis opens its 16th season tonight in Forest Park with A Midsummer Night's Dream. The play centers on the wedding of the Duke of Athens and the Amazon Queen. It is set simultaneously in the woodlands near Athens and in a realm called Fairyland. The free outdoor performance runs through June 26th every night but Tuesday, and St. Louis on the Air contributor Steve Potter has the story.
Rick Dildine is the festival's artistic director, and he's also directing A Midsummer Night's Dream. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
And also here, Nancy Anderson and Timothy Carter. They lead the cast in this Shakespeare classic. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello, and thank you.
Rick, it's been 14 years, I think, since the festival produced A Midsummer Night's Dream. Why was this a good time to bring it back?
Midsummer Night's Dream is probably one of, well, for our audiences, it's the play they ask for all the time. And I knew I wanted to do something comedic and fun and beautiful and sexy. The past 2 years have been a lot of death on stage. I mean, there's a high body count. Henry IV, Henry V, Antony and Cleopatra. And I wanted something that ended with marriage and happiness. Mm-hmm. And so Midsummer was the place we kept landing.
It's funny that you say that because I think actors don't like to die on stage, but maybe when you do a lot of Shakespeare, that's not always a bad thing, is it, Timothy? Because that happens so often in his stuff.
I've always had a good time doing it.
Nancy, you've performed here in St. Louis before, the Muni and the Rep, I think, right?
Yes, back in the late 90s, I worked at the Rep, did a musical there called Skinflint, and in 2003, I believe, I was at the Rep in Crazy for You. I mean, at Muni. Uh-huh. Doing Crazy for You.
Well, with Muni experience, you're used to performing outside, so you know all about St. Louis weather, right?
That's right. Yeah, when my agent called me and said that I was cast as Titania, there was a big caveat, and I was sent the message that performing outside in St. Louis in the summertime is taking your life into your own hands, or at least your sweat.
Yeah, right. And you're going to be back at the Muni.
I am. Yeah. Right after this, I'll be doing the Mayor's Wife in Music Man.
Timothy, I'm not sure about your past in St. Louis. I know you toured with Lion King. Did I see you with the Fox?
No, that must have been somebody else. I'm sure I know that scar, but that was not me. I've done lots of other cities in the nation, but never been to St. Louis. So I hear audiences are tremendous. I'm looking forward to it.
They are. What about your background with outdoor productions?
Well, I have done outdoor Shakespeare before. I did a couple of seasons at Colorado Shakes in Boulder and a season at Nebraska Shakes in Omaha. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's fun for both actors and audience.
It is, Rick, maybe you want to talk about that because you perform in a little area you call Shakespeare's Glen in mm-hmm. Forest Park, and being outside is part of the whole deal.
Yeah, it's part of the whole experience. Mm-hmm. The Glen, we've been there now for 16 years. A few years ago, we did a lot of upgrades, permanent electricity, permanent drainage. We made the site great for audiences. And now we're getting about 3,000 people a night on average.
Why do you like doing it outside? Is it because you can have audiences that size?
Yeah, there's something so special about putting that huge language, that extraordinary language in nature. With the sky, with trees, they match up incredibly well.
Well, let's talk about this production. Timothy and Nancy, you are the king and the queen.
Of the fairies.
Is there more royalty?
There's a duke and a duchess. They are in the mortal world, and we are king and queen of the fairies, which means we have essentially more power than they do.
Yes. In some productions, they have the same actors playing them. A single actor will play both Theseus, the Duke, and Oberon, the King of the Fairies, and same with the Duchess, Hippolyta, and Titania, Nancy's role. But in this particular production, Rick has chosen to cast individual actors in each role.
Yeah, and given that this is a show that's outside, I think the King and Queen of the Fairies have a lot more responsibility than they might in an indoor theater.
Yes.
If you're the King and Queen of the fairies, does that mean that you are fairies?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And why did you decide to do a cast it this way, right?
This is the fifth time I've done Midsummer, the first time I've directed it, and I've done the double track myself, mm-hmm. and I just felt like that I wanted something so different from both of those actors for those two different roles that I didn't want to force, I didn't want to compromise, and I got two great actors for both roles.
Original music. Talk about Peter Mark Kendall.
Well, Peter is, I mean, I'm predicting in a few years, everyone's going to know Peter's name. He's getting a lot of coverage on television, but he's a phenomenal actor who I've gotten to know the past few years. And I approached him about writing the music for this show. And so he's written two original songs for it. Then there are four other songs that are existing already. And then a group of guys called the Rats and People Motion Picture Orchestra, which are based here in St. Louis, they've orchestrated all of that music into the underscoring and transitions.
We're going to sample some of that. And I think, Nancy, your character has a lullaby.
Yes, Titania sings herself to sleep with a beautiful lullaby that Peter Mark Kendall wrote.
It's one of the highlights of the show.
Yeah, you'll be hearing, this is actually a scratch, what we call a scratch demo. It was a quick demo that Peter tossed off for us so we could hear what he had written. He might be a little mortified to know that it's on national radio, but it's a gorgeous song. I listened to it, I think, 15 times all the way home on the subway when he first sent it to me.
My mind is heavy and full. Find me a place where I can rest my eyes for just a little while. Help me forget about the worries of the day. Fighting and clawing, always trying to find the cleverest thing to say. Sing softly and sweet, sing a lullaby for your beloved queen.
Shakespeare Festival St. Louis presents A Midsummer Night's Dream, opening tonight, running through June the 26th. We're talking with actors Timothy Carter and Nancy Anderson and artistic director Rick Dildine, who is directing this production. And listening to that music, I think we should point out, Rick, that you won't see an orchestra pit.
No. No, the entire company of actors is playing their own instruments and accompanying themselves in the show.
Is every actor musically?
No. It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Challenge for either of you?
Oh, yes.
Sure, yeah. It's becoming more popular, even on Broadway, for actors to be accompanying themselves and be creating the musical environment. And I think that one of the wonderful things about that is that it creates that kind of campfire feel where everybody's participating in the storytelling. So it actually brings in the audience in a very unique way. And, of course, that's multiplied by being outside in the park.
And what instruments do you play for this?
I play the ukulele. And the violin.
And I play the violin. And Nancy and I both sing.
That's correct.
You comfortable with that?
Nancy is a pro.
No, that's not correct.
A real high roller in the musical theater world, and I try hard.
Yeah, it's not our profession. And so, I think that it's important or just interesting to know that just because we're actors doesn't mean that performing in other mediums is something that is comfortable for us or is something that we necessarily do naturally. Sometimes, singing and acting might be sort of like falling off a log, but we got to do a lot of practicing to be able to even be slightly convincing on the violin.
Yeah. I always think about actors who do Shakespeare are Shakespearean actors, but that's probably not really true. Does everyone that's in a Shakespeare play primarily a Shakespearean actor?
No, not primarily.
I don't think you could afford to do that because there aren't very many companies that could support, could help you make a living by just Shakespeare. So, I mean, I'm a musical theater actress. Mm-hmm. So Rick was incredibly generous to give me my first crack at a leading role in a Shakespeare.
Well, just for a little bit of contrast, I think you've both done some TV or movie work or something. Give me an idea of some of the other type of things that you've done.
I'll be honest with you. I've always been a theater snob and never wanted to do TV or film. And my agent sort of insisted. And so in the last couple of years, I was in Orange is the New Black and The Blacklist and had a good time, actually.
So you're still a snob? Or?
I'm still a theater snob. Okay. I still love theater the most. But
can you really be a snob when you're starring in Lion King? I mean, honestly.
Good point. But I've actually enjoyed the TV work, so I'll do more of it.
TV work for you, Nancy?
Yes, I had my first role on a series program called Madam Secretary. I played the Republican, irritated neighbor in Georgetown with a dog. Yeah, but you know, it's a very separate world in the New York acting scene. You know, people who do television and movies tend to only do television and movies, and people who do stage are not always given the opportunity. So I was pretty excited. Well, although some of the musicals I've done are on PBS.
Well, A Midsummer Night's Dream begins. It's a wedding scene, isn't it?
It opens with it's about to be a wedding scene, and the Duke is talking about my wedding's going to happen in just a few days.
Only it's not you two.
No. No, we've been together for 400 years.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, we're having marital difficulties.
So who's getting married?
The Duke is marrying Queen Hippolyta at the very beginning of the play. He's just defeated her in battle. Mm.
But it's more complicated than that because there are other romances going on at the same time.
Yeah, there's two other young couples, Demetrius, Helena, Lysander and Hermia. Lysander and Hermia are together, even though Demetrius loves Hermia. And Lysander and Hermia run off to elope and to get married. And thanks to their friend Helena, who tells Demetrius, hey, I know where they're going, the adventures in the woods begin.
I'd like to get back to the king and queen's marital problems. What's happening?
Well, it's very timely, actually. It's amazing that this show was written 400 years ago because the king and queen of the fairies, they actually control the seasons. And one of the interesting things about it being called a Midsummer Night's Dream is that there's all kinds of crazy things happening. It's summertime and it's snowing and it's raining and all of the crops are either parched or being drowned. And there's huge cataclysmic weather events happening. And the reason is because Oberon is not doing the normal fairy things, the fairy dances that we do to control the seasons.
You notice how she's putting this on me.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, I just put blame where blame is due.
This could be part of the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so Titania gives this very famous soliloquy about how their fighting has caused the seasons to alter. And it's eerie how much it mirrors what's happening to our environment today.
So do you have a rebuttal?
I guess I would
he has
quote,
a leg
quote
to
Shakespeare, do you amend it then? It lies in you.
He has no remorse. Do you see it? Do you see my problem?
This could get worse, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where does Puck come into all this, and what exactly is he?
Well, he's a mischievous little fairy who is Oberon's sidekick and becomes the instigator of a lot of trouble in the woods.
Do you put him up to this or what?
No.
What?
Well, I do give him instructions, but the problem is that he doesn't, he's not very diligent about carrying them out properly. And so things go awry and I have to correct him.
He may or may not be very bright.
But he's sweet and a lot of fun.
I understand, Rick, that Puck is being played by twins. So explain to me what this is about.
Well, I'll just say I wanted to create a show that was very fun for kids and families. You know, Puck is supposed to be very quick, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, don't give away the device.
I'll leave it at that.
You're making this hard for me.
I know. I'll say, you know, it's really a delightful performance, and it's fun for audiences.
How important is it for people? Shakespeare stuff is always kind of complicated. Lots of relationships, lots of things going on. Do we need to really concentrate on all that?
Do we need to concentrate on
the complexity of the plot?
Oh, do we need to concentrate on that? Well, you know, we strive and we work really hard to get actors who are excellent, not only technicians, but can embody the spirit of what those events are that is happening on stage. And we try to also give them the tools, so excellent sound system, excellent equipment to convey those tools, to convey those moments. So, and what we've gotten is audiences that go, wow, I understood what was going on. I thought I was going to be lost.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, when they think of Shakespeare, they think of their inability to understand the language. And I think that what Rick does so beautifully with his company is he comes into the room first day of the rehearsal with the kind of spirit that you realize Shakespeare approached it with himself. It is a fun, crazy, convoluted story that should be understood. And I think our production has that great spirit and that ebullience and the clarity to show you how emotions 400 years ago are the same as emotions are today. Love is the same. The way that it makes you crazy is the same. And I think that he's helped us really communicate that in a very modern and accessible way.
I would concur with that. I think the storytelling is clear and strong.
And funny. And
I'll be surprised if audiences don't get it. I really think that they will get it and enjoy it hugely.
Nancy said something, Rick, that made me think of something I read about what you said, something about how society kind of points out or makes us think about all the differences there are between us.
But maybe
this show kind of makes us realize there aren't that many differences.
Yeah, you know, when I reread it a year or 14 months ago, the amount of love and the desire to love and what do you happen when you're not loved, like those are, as Nancy just said, that's 400 years ago and today, we can still feel that. And that's something we all share is the desire to love.
One more element of the production I'd like to mention. There seems to be a lot of sleeping in the show. I mean, on stage.
Well, it is nighttime.
It's nighttime.
I mean, how many people are snoozing?
There's a significant amount of snoozing. I mean, I think that I lie on the stage with my fairies asleep for a good 20 minutes.
No, really?
Yeah. Maybe it's 15, but yeah. It's a long time when you're covered up with a piece of fabric.
That's probably harder to do than I think.
It actually is, especially out there when the bugs are getting at you. So, you know, if you get bit by a spider or a mosquito, you got to stay still, and it's not easy.
And not to mention the other day in technical rehearsals during the day, Nancy was out there on that hot stage, and she was cooking.
Yeah, it's an interesting – there's all kinds of other issues aside from acting and costumes and sets that you're dealing with, like moths flying in your mouth, or our cute little accordion player. She's this wildly talented girl named Ashby. Ashby Laws. She's a local girl and big in the Irish music scene, and she can really play the accordion. But the other day, there was this big mix-up with her rhythm suddenly went crazy, and we all looked at her, and she said, "I had a spider crawling up my cheek." Yeah, so.
Rick, let's hear another piece of music. I think we have something from the group you mentioned before, Rats and People. This is a transition piece, I think, Timothy, your character is involved with?
Correct, yes.
What can you tell me about it?
Well, I think this particular piece is just transition music. So you actually will hear me playing violin, but I'm not on stage at the time. So there's a lot of fun incidental music, and this is one of those pieces.
A Midsummer Night's Dream opens tonight in Forest Park, and also this is the 400th anniversary of the death of William Shakespeare, and this is St. Louis. You're going to celebrate this with beer.
Yes. So our good friend Tom Schlafly, who is behind the Schlafly Brewery, I was telling him about the 400th anniversary, and he insisted that we do a special beer, and it's called 1616, and it is available at the festival.
He had to insist, or?
Dad insist? No, it was a pretty easy conversation.
Real quickly before we go, just for people maybe have never been, you can rent a chair, you can bring your own, same kind of thing with food. What would you like people to know about that?
Sure, it's the same thing. You can bring your own food. We also have full concessions there as well. And for the first time this year, you can actually get a really nice picnics for two that can be ordered through our website.
And a pre-performance green show?
Starting at 6:30 every night. We do a 20-minute version of the play for kids twice a night, and there's musicians and roaming performers.
Well, it's opening night tonight. What's on your mind?
I'm excited about seeing an audience. Can't wait.
Hope I play my instruments well.
It's all in the actor's hands now.
That's Shakespeare Festival St. Louis Artistic Director Rick Dildine and actors Timothy Carter and Nancy Anderson speaking with Steve Potter. A Midsummer Night's Dream opens tonight in Forest Park, and during Steve's conversation, you heard Artistic Director Rick Dildine avoid saying too much about the story of Puck, the mischievous fairy. But St. Louis Public Radio Cut and Paste podcast team has the scoop about the identical twins who play their part. They are Austin and Ryan Jacobs. They just got their BFAs in theater from Webster University, and casting them both gives Puck opportunities to be even more impish than Shakespeare may have imagined. The actors wouldn't give away the entire story, but did say Puck can disappear and reappear in quick fashion because he's played by two people. Arts and culture reporters Nancy Fowler and Willis Ryder Arnold talked with the Jacobs twins for the latest episode of Cut and Paste. In this excerpt, they first asked Austin Jacobs about how they came to share the role.
Director Rick Dildon, he came to us and was like, hey guys, I have this crazy idea. I just want to see what's going to happen. I want you guys to both look at Puck, look at these three speeches of his, come up with something together. Just bring it in. Just try it. And we were like, sure, I have no idea how to do this, but why not? We ended up going to a studio till like 4 in the morning and working this whole switch off and kind of saying things at the same time as if we were one person but with two bodies.
So he left that up to you to figure that out.
Yeah, it was very – we just kind of explored and figured out, hey, this would be kind of cool. And then we came back in the next day and did it for him, and he was like, great. Then we didn't hear anything for a while, and he ended up calling us and saying, hey, I'd like to offer this to you as well as your brother. We want you both to do it. So, yeah, it's a really cool chance to do this in a new way. I don't think anyone has ever, as far as I know, has ever done this role like this.
Another interesting thing about this production is that it includes music.
I'm up in the woods. I'm down on my mind. I'm building a still to slow down the time.
And that's based on a song by contemporary musician Bon Iver.
I'm up in the woods. I'm down on my land. I'm building a still.
What is the play able to do differently since there are two Pucks? I mean, how is that used in the production?
This is Ryan speaking. One thing that's really cool about the set design is that the set design actually supports the concept of a single Puck that can travel very quickly. You know, in this play, one of the most famous lines from Midsummer is, I'll put a girdle round about the earth in 40 minutes. And having two actors that look so similar enables us to do some really cool stuff in terms of transportation or in terms of utilizing the set in a way that supports this idea that Puck can travel long distances very, very quickly. It's really interesting that Rick and his team, his design team, have taken this concept and integrated it into all aspects of the design of the show, which is really exciting, I think, from an actor standpoint, because it gives us so many facets with which to play with.
It's also been kind of a unique challenge trying to figure out how two actors can kind of portray the same character with the same voice and, you know, try to portray one person rather than two individual takes on that character. So Ryan and I we've had a lot of discussions and we've been working to kind of figure out how to interpret Puck the same way, even though there's two unique individuals involved.
I can imagine that's actually kind of hard to do, you know? It's like you may look similarly, but you don't necessarily have the same ideas of how to approach it. What were some of those like more difficult conversations that you had to work out?
Oh, man. We've had a lot of conversations about physicality. We obviously move pretty similarly, especially, you know, with you're playing a fairy. He's a woodland creature, I guess you could say. So there's a lot of possibilities there, but we've kind of had to figure out how boyish he is and how energetic he is and the way in which he moves, and then agree on that and kind of be the outside eye for the other person to say, hey, you know, that really looks like what we're going for. Can you tell me, give me the same feedback? Yeah, and then in addition, trying to figure out some of the speeches we share, which, you know, these are very iconic speeches, and trying to figure out what Puck is fighting for in a given moment, what he wants. We have to make the same choice.
That's twins Austin and Ryan Jacobs talking with St. Louis Public Radio Cut and Paste podcast hosts Nancy Fowler and Willis Ryder Arnold. The Jacobs twins share the part of the mischievous fairy Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Shakespeare Festival St. Louis production of A Midsummer Night's Dream opens tonight at 8 and continues nightly, except Tuesdays, through June 26th in Shakespeare Glen, just east of the St. Louis Art Museum in Forest Park. To listen to the entire podcast, visit stlpublicradio.org. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Kim Oswald, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.